It's time for episode 41. Welcome in for this esports life. I just love the energy that Bruce Buffer brings to the UFC. Do you ever watch the UFC?
No, I don't actually, but I can just imagine the scenario where someone is just fucking screaming into my ears. Thanks. You basically brought me there.
It's beautiful. So. Yeah, no volume warning for you or anybody else. Except there's probably going to be quieter podcast intro music. How you doing, Squeaks? Welcome to the show. Welcome back from...
Oh, it's good.
Welcome, Squeaks. We're actually welcoming Squeaks after he has spent some time...
I spent one day...
on the better side of North America and had a blast. Squeaks, tell us all about it.
Okay, well, let's just say I feel totally cultured now. I'm an international traveler. I went to Vancouver, Canada, okay? And I have my fucking maple syrup. And my accent, and I was there when the Raptors won, and I'm from the Bay Area originally, so, I mean, fuck it, man, I'm a bandwagoner, I was cheering for the Raps.
The energy's infectious.
Yeah, it was fucking, it was so fun. Canada's great, I'd move there, fuck it, I'm going right now.
You said that pretty quickly, early on, you're like, I'd move here, I'd live here, it's cool. I've never been to Vancouver, I've heard good things.
It's so fun, dude, everyone's young. The area is nice. It's by the water. And it's like, dude, it's actually the place to be. It's actually, like, apparently it was rated the most livable place in North America.
I believe it, man. Was it like, okay, so everything on the West Coast with Canada and LA and stuff, there's like so much stuff that has to do with China because people like ship their kids over to... All right, that's such a bad way to describe that. Oh, man. I just meant it totally metaphorically, but I was like, that's actually just like, yeah, that actually sounded so bad. No. People, like billionaires, send their kids over by a plane to go to school.
You're digging yourself out of this hole.
Billionaires, right? Billionaires.
They sell their
barrels
kids.
Full of money.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of Asian people there, which I like.
Yeah, because... so they develop a lot of land there to get visas for their kids. So there's like, if you spend millions of dollars, it's like way easier to get visas. So they do that in Canada and like in LA infamously.
Yeah. And everyone's driving nice cars, so everyone's rich as fuck, that means. And a lot of Asians were like there too. It was kind of cool. You know what it reminded me of? Like I went to fucking Istanbul. In Turkey, and there's so many, like, you'd sit down at a cafe and you'd hear like a million languages. I thought that was so sick because you had get like, it's truly the melting pot. Like, the United States pretends like we're the melting pot of like culture and shit, but I don't feel like we are anymore. But in Vancouver, you'd sit there and you'd hear so many different like people talking about different things. Everyone looked different. It was really fun, especially when the Raptors won and everyone just got drunk. It was great.
Yeah, so you're there with your mom and your sister?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? And then did you feel like when you're traveling with your family, I don't know like how close you are with your family, but is there like you're traveling with your family, do you feel like you would like to be there with your friends or just like have a separate thing where you're just with your friends?
Yeah, I would want a separate thing with just my friends. It's true, but it's totally different. Like I know that the vacations with my family are going to mean so much more, you know? Like sentimentally. But the vacations with your friends are like, get drunk, like do stupid shit. It's like totally
don't remember
different.
The whole thing.
Yeah, but that's fun in its own right. But I wouldn't say like one is better than the other. Just totally different. Would you agree with me there?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's sentimentally, it's a much bigger deal. And I guess I don't know. Our parents don't travel as much, so like them getting to travel is like always more of a special occasion. So
I mean, and what I really liked growing up was my parents. We made sure that we traveled to one new place every year and up until like when we got really busy in high school. But it could be anywhere. It could be like LA. We'd go to like random places together. And then we went to like Turkey, Egypt, just all over. And I thought that was a really good thing because it's like it really does open your eyes a little bit when you travel. And you probably know better than I do. I feel like it is really good for especially a kid.
Bro, I think traveling can enrich your life if you want it to. But I think there's lots of people who go and they don't come in wanting to be there, and then they don't get anything out of it. Like, but then I wonder if traveling does anything, you know? Because it's like if you're that kind of person, you're always gonna be looking for ways to enrich your experience as a human on the planet. And if you travel, that maybe enables it or makes it a little easier. But there's so many people that you could get them to travel, but once they get there, they're just going to be upset about everything as opposed to wanting to absorb it.
It's so childish to me to not like to explore new areas. Like, it reminds me of being a kid and being dragged somewhere, like a family event or like Safeway, and then I'm on my phone like playing games or bringing my Game Boy. It's like so it's like might as well take advantage of the situation, right? I mean,
yeah, what's Safeway?
A grocery store that cultured people go to.
Yeah, the cultural melting pot that is America.
Yeah.
Second
or what do you say, place. Ralph's? Where do you go?
Ralph's is also American.
I can't think of one example. I was just in Canada. Whole Foods? That's American.
Have you ever heard of Bob Loblaw's Loblaws?
Yeah, Bob Loblaw.
Bob Loblaw's Loblaws. Well, we have Loblaws. That's a grocery store in Canada.
Loblaws?
I can't remember what that reference is from.
That's Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, okay, yeah. So were they were in Canada? I don't know if we have Loblaws in America, but
no,
not that I can remember.
I've never seen a Loblaws.
We've both got Whole Foods, if that makes it feel better.
That's beautiful. That's unifying, you know? There's so much animosity between Canada and the United States. I'm glad we can share a meal here at Whole Foods. Asparagus water for $20, I'm down. I'm in, okay? I love that kale juice shit. So there's – oh, and dude, speaking of Fortnite – I was at the fucking Raptors game, or I was at like a Chinese restaurant because watching the Raptors game. It was half bar, okay? And there's this kid sitting there playing Fortnite on his phone the whole time. I wanted to hit him.
Oh,
I never wanted to hit a kid before.
This kid knows, man. It takes a lot of time to get good at Fortnite. And so if you don't put in the hours, you're going to get left in the dust. He is a kid who has a future in anything. You know, he understands what it takes to be great. And he knows, and he's recognized an exploding market, right? I mean, he could be on his phone playing Apex Legends, no, but they don't even have an app. You know, that's how far
don't
behind
they
are.
Don't bring it up, bro. Why do you have to... Just Apex is... Just stop. It's going to take over. You'll see. Please. I'm begging you. there's something gross about it. You know, watching a kid play Fortnite and everyone around him is like drunk and happy and jumping up and down and shit. And he's just sitting there.
Why isn't this
Fortnite kid
popping open a cold one with his fucking family and friends?
Just walk up to the kid and be like, hey, be a man and drink this shit. Okay? We all pretend like we like it. You can join in too.
Chug,
be a drunk.
Chug. Come on,
it's
guys.
It's like
chug,
baby formula. Chug. Okay.
I still sometimes buy baby food.
Ew.
From the grocery store.
You really going to bring that out on the podcast? Like, we've said some pretty weird shit, but
thought
that...
I would come on as a bleeding heart and just express my feelings
right.
In an open way. And
that's the form,
just
right?
Get instantly shot down.
No, good
for
you.
I don't
know
what I expected.
That's the advantage of podcasting. You know,
never do it again.
No,
I'll never
go
do
ahead.
It again.
What are you talking about? Eating like baby food? Go ahead. Get really close to your mic. It becomes more intimate. It's a podcast. You know, we get
I
real.
Also buy baby wipes. The superior way to wipe your butt.
Okay, that's fair. But do you use baby wipes or do you use like a toilet? Are we really going to have a segment here about wiping your ass? Is that what we're like? What 5-10 minutes in, we're going to talk about ass wiping?
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a refreshing segment,
a cleansing segment, if you will.
We're going to get all the way in there.
Okay, tell me about it. So you have baby wipes because the analogy is like if you drop shit on your like. Body part, you wouldn't just wipe it off with toilet paper. You'd use water, right? Is that what you're
That's
telling me?
Actually, yeah. I mean, if you're a Neanderthal, you know, you might use some kind of paper, basically, to wipe the poop particles from your butthole. But if you are an advanced member of the human race in the year 2019, I think the move is to get baby wipes.
Yeah,
flushable baby wipes, by the way. You can do that.
Okay, that flushable. I'm glad you added that because I know I was concerned about the environment in that whole story and I was going to bring it up, but I'm glad you added that footnote there.
Sometimes when you pull them out, they break apart a little bit. It's not that convenient.
I just
but
hear
I still
everyone turning
those.
Off their phone in unison. Oh, you're talking about shit again. Let me just mute this. Okay, I agree with you, but in India, it's common practice to have like a bucket of water.
Dude, they have, even in Malaysia, they have like your shower room.
Yeah, like that exactly
like,
what I mean, like a spray.
Yeah. They technically that's like a more that's like in line and closer to baby wipes than paper is because they see it the same way. They see it as like if you're going to take a shit, you got to clean your whole fucking body. Like you've got to this is not sanitary.
No.
And so you've got to like wash up. That's
okay,
how they
I'm
see
on
it.
Board with you here. Okay, I agree though. You should wash up. It's gross. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But
so now you can have a shower in your hand.
Can I be vulnerable for a second? Can we get closer on mics again?
Put yourself out there and I'm not promising anything.
But doesn't that make your butt doesn't it make it completely wet?
No, it's not that wet. It's moist. And then once you wipe it up, just clap the cheeks together, get up and walk away. You feel great.
Hello?
Did you just stop recording or something?
No, I just laughed. I just heard you literally, you cut back in saying ass is wet. Okay.
basically you wipe your butt. It's a slightly moist towelette. Think of it as like a wet nap for your ass. Mm-hmm. And then you clap the cheeks together, stand
Shut
up, and
up.
Walk
this
away.
Is so gross. Why do you have to say clap the cheeks? It's so nasty. Like someone came into chat once and was like, oh, these cheeks slap. And I didn't know what that meant. And so I asked. But it's like there's a slap. I'm not, you know what? This is getting gross. Anyway, I don't even want to think about it. Like, slapping cheeks is disgusting.
Speaking of clapping cheeks, have you been doing any clapping cheeks lately?
What do you mean? Now that we're done with the shit talking. No, I've been clapping the cheeks on Twitch, okay? I've been grinding. I'm married to the game, you know. I don't participate in normie activities like sex and social lives. I'm busy grinding those numbers and playing.
Yeah, it takes hours to get through a LaCroix. So I'm just sitting there sipping, working on it all day just to prove that I am very cultured.
Thank you. I'm glad. You know, it's so funny. I've actually stopped drinking LaCroix.
I don't blame you.
I mean, not out of choice, just out of laziness, you know? Like, would I be dying for LaCroix right now? Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. But I kind of get it, you know? I've had so many different flavors. I don't know what's left. Like, I haven't been getting any recommendations or anything, so.
Hey, man, good on you, you know, to forego any future drinking of LaCroix.
No, I'll drink it. Hold
pending,
on.
Pending lawsuits against the owner, CEO of LaCroix.
You got to bring that up.
As
you got to bring that up.
I think hitting on flight attendants, slapping, clapping some cheeks.
He's clapping
on their way by. Yeah, it's a very moral move by you, Squeaks, to not support a company a company that has a CEO that partakes in such
clapping ass
filthy behavior. Claps the cheeks of passing by or flight attendants that pass by his aisle seat.
Listen, I obviously want to come on record and say that is absolutely morally reprehensible behavior, but you have one or two extra LaCroix and God knows what you're capable of, you know? Who knows where that fizz is going, all right?
Oh, straight man, I've been drinking non-alcoholic LaCroix this whole time.
No, but listen, you don't even need alcohol. It's a whole different type of high, okay? You got that raspberry shit. Goes fucking straight to your brain, bro. That stuff gets you high on raspberries, you know?
That's a whole that's why your ego. Pie. That's why your ego is out of the stratosphere all the time.
I have the smallest ego in the world, dude. That's you. Speaking of ego, what's your Tinder bio?
Okay, I've already said mine. Do you want to read yours?
You haven't said it on podcast to the millions of listeners who want to know the Tinder strats or the Bumble strats or whatever.
You first.
No, it's too cringy. Okay, wait. This is a real thing. Yeah. Okay, because I don't know how to have an engaging conversation on, like, Bumble. Like, what do you even start by talking on? Like, what do you even say? Like, there's nothing in common, right?
Well, first of all, they message you first.
Yeah, right? But then they're always like, hey.
Yes, dude. Girls are the worst. They always will just be like, they'll, like, smiley face or I've had a girl literally just type a period. Like, a period. It's just because they're like, you start the conversation. It's like, what is the point of this app? I'm totally fine starting the conversation, but the whole point of this app is that you get to choose who you talk to and then start the conversation, right?
Yeah. Did you tell her that?
No, I didn't talk to her.
I'm all talk. I was totally like hitting on her after.
If I'm totally fine starting conversations, but What do you, I mean, why Bumble? Are you saying Bumble as a way to, as a way to describe dating apps, or just like any, or are you saying like
just any,
on Bumble specifically?
Any dating apps. I feel like there's nothing, because like I'm good at, I feel like I'm okay at like meeting people in real life. And I don't even mean like partners or whatever. I mean like friends. I'm like, if I meet them, usually we can have a good conversation, whatever. We have something in common, which is like where we're standing, what we're looking at. But on Bumble, all we have in common is that we're lonely and looking for someone. It's like there's nothing to work off of there.
Okay, I think that's a really common problem, like openers for people. I think the for me, I always look for something in the picture that I can talk about.
Sure.
So like if you, I think it's great to have, even for like for guys to have interesting photos, you know, that aren't like you fucking taking the most serious mirror selfie of all time.
Fuck, that's
because
that's
there's
my
nothing that there's literally nothing to talk about, you know, when you look at a photo like that. But if it's some photo in a setting, like you're saying, if you're out with somebody in real life,
yeah,
you can talk, you can like people watch, make fun of somebody walking down the street, or you know, just in a joking way, or talk about a store or just a city or whatever. You already have those things in common. But if you're on, and then you gotta create a window to that, I think, in your profile on Tinder or Bumble or whatever you use.
You're right.
And I always just try to bring up something funny about something in the picture. So I've actually been using, like, leveraging the fact that I've been to a fair number of places. And if I ever see a travel photo, I'll try to take a guess at where it is. And if it is a place that I've been to, like, way better, then it's like done. Then it's like, they're definitely gonna respond.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And I agree. But it's not even like openers. I just have a, like, I feel like on text, it's so like superficial. Because then it's like we're both searching for things to say just to say them. Do you know what I mean?
I guess so. I guess so. I get that. I totally get that. I think I'm not going to say I'm a great, like, great texter or anything, but I think I've learned that you've just got to be like 100% authentic. And if it catches it, it catches. It's one thing I heard that was interesting. This was from Bobby Scar, who's he's a Smash commentator. I don't know if you know him. He's he's got like a really big personality. He's really interesting. And he was talking about his dad, who apparently is the same way. And he was just like, his dad's the kind of person who's like really interesting. And the way he described him was like somebody who, he just says so many interesting things that eventually you have to listen. That's how that kind of appeared to be his worldview. Like everything Bobby says feels like it's original. Like you're like, it's either funny or it's just, you know, he says it with just such good presentation, or it's interesting, and eventually you're a fan. And I think that's, you know, it's just, he's so fantastic for that reason. And I think that's really good advice.
Sure.
You know, so if you're having a conversation with someone brand new, like, and it's like on Tinder where they're getting hundreds of matches a second, you've got to stand out in some way. That won't necessarily mean like, hey, you're pretty. You know, that could get you attention, but it's no way to have, it's no foundation for a whole conversation. It doesn't do anything, right? It can't be something you can copy and paste. So respond to something you see in their photos, but also just show your personality as much as possible in every message. So be as unique as you can. You know, try to think of your funniest self in the funniest point of a conversation and just like spit it out and just see if it works or not. You know, say something really interesting, something unique. Don't talk like everybody else.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to stand out and still be genuine. Should be genuine, I think.
That's something I, like, the thing is, I love performing. Like, I like saying stupid shit to get a reaction. I like, like, being, like, annoying. I like almost playing characters is really funny to me. You know, like, I like when I stream, I like sort of going against Twitch chat for the sake of it. Or, like, just trying to get something out of people. Or like being the guy in the back of a classroom, like laughing at something stupid. Or like, you know what I mean? Like putting on a show for people. But I think with that, I stop listening, you know? I stop using what they're saying for like material. Do you know what I mean? It's situational.
They have to have a personality too. And it's all to, I think the thing that's different about dating as opposed to like meeting a friend is there might be a certain element of you need to try to get them comfortable so they're willing to just talk to you or open up a little bit to you as well, you know? So then once they start going, like once you're just talking to somebody who you think is cool and now they're opening up to you, then it's easy.
Yeah.
Right? That's,
you're
everyone's
right.
done that.
Yeah.
So it's in my eyes, it's literally just about getting over the hump. How do you get the other person comfortable, and how do you show them that you're willing to just be yourself so they're willing to be themselves too?
That totally makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I've been on a date a long time ago where it was like someone I met off of one of those apps. I don't remember which one. They like were getting coffee, and it was basically me performing the entire time. Like, she was laughing. Mm. She was super receptive. She got it. And I, at the end of the night, I was exhausted. Like, I was like, dude, it's been like, you have to give me something, you know?
But dude, and that's something I wish more guys understood. Like, ultimately, you can still do everything right and really put yourself out there and everything. And, you know, like, even you're telling me that story, I know you have the level of self-awareness where you're not some dude who's just like a giant ego walking around yelling at people, telling them your life story. Yeah. You know, you're trying to grease the wheels of the conversation, get something back out of it. If they don't have a personality, I mean, that day's not going to work, and it's not necessarily your fault. So don't, I think the other thing is, guys, sometimes they want to assume it's always your fault just because maybe you didn't know how to get things started. But you got to be happy too. It's not your fault if the other person's not contributing anything to a conversation. Or maybe they would with another type of person, but you're not that kind of person. You guys aren't compatible. That's going to happen too. So
yeah, but it's super weird because we were clearly not compatible, but I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to be funny and like be as charming as I can. Like, let's just have a good, let's just hang out, you know? And then
I love that.
And then she texted me, and she texted me. She's like, "Oh my god, I had a great time! Like, let's meet ASAP." I was like, "Dude, I don't have the energy in me." You know, I was thinking, "What do you mean?
I can't do that two nights in a row."
I felt like a late night talk show host. I was like, "Listen, I'm overbooked. Okay, you want to book me another night? You know, I can't do that shit. It's so exhausting for me." But that's what was so weird. It was so one directional. It was truly.
Do you have any
like
regrets
TV?
About the way you did it then? Like, because you kind of set it up. Like, did you expect her to text you back and be so enthusiastic about a second date?
There's like a fucked up part of me that wanted her. I wanted to be like, oh, like, you love that shit, didn't you? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah,
I wanted that. I wanted the validation because I'm probably a fragile man child. But I think that I wanted her to do it, but I knew that that was the last I was going to see her. Like, I knew it. I was like, this is unsustainable. And I used to be like even worse than I am now, where I would perform everything. Like, I think it'd be so funny. Like, I was a kid in school who would like, we'd play a game in English where someone would tell me a word to say in a question, no matter what, like iglet, which is like the ends of a shoelace. And I'd have to ask a question and use that word to the teacher without her questioning my, like, what I'm saying. So like, you'd have to think of, like, I would love that shit.
So
it was like
they're just audience practice.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, they were clearly the audience watching someone perform in front of them and laughing. You know, I love that shit. But I think it would.
But then
too far.
Is that where did you decide to do that once you realized that like she's going to be kind of quiet the whole time? Or like, was there a point where you decided that this isn't the girl for me, but I'm still going to have fun with this?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Okay. So you were never at like, you're never holding out for the thought that maybe she's going to get comfortable enough to kind of give something back and then maybe, you know, it would be cool to see her again.
Yeah. No, I went in there with a very open mind. Like, I think like it started with me like asking her questions and she'd answer in like really stupid fucking shitty ways. What's your favorite color? I like all of them. like that kind of person.
Six.
What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite song? I like all music. And I'm like, really? You like country? Except country. Like, tell me more about that.
Oh.
Like, I hate that fucking response, dude. Like,
I know, yeah.
Like, be a person for once. So then I just went into performance mode because I wanted to, like, salvage whatever and have a good time myself.
Okay,
honestly.
That's fair. So you did recognize, like, a failure point where it's just like, there's nothing. I mean,
yeah, I was like, there's a fucking.
You're not even going to be interested, you know, you've already seen,
Yeah, no, I know.
People have to have fucking personalities. I don't think it's something that just because. I'm really confident that people who don't think they have personalities or good personalities can find it in there. And I think a lot of it just comes with confidence and practice to get it out, to be comfortable with who you are and, you know, to not get nervous when you're having a conversation. I'm 100% confident that that's in most people, if not all people.
Totally.
And if
it means like working out
there.
Or whatever, I think that helps a lot. Or going to college or something, or like being educated or like doing something productive. I think I've seen a lot of people get really confident that way, which ultimately helps their personality a ton.
No doubt. Which is super there's weird. Sometimes you have questions about yourself, like, oh, I'm not very successful in this certain way, and then that's maybe why I'm like less confident. So it's like in that aspect of your life, if you maximize that, or you've finally proved to yourself that you could, you know, you could become a top pole vaulter, like that was your one goal, and then you felt like that was your personality trait. Like every girl I've ever liked loves pole vaulting, and I'm trash at it.
Yeah,
and I've always wanted to be good. It's like, well, maybe you needed to prove to yourself that you were good at pole vaulting before you went after these pole vaulting chicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they would vault your poles.
I mean, was that the point of bringing in that analogy?
I didn't know. It just came.
You just started
Freudian
talking.
Freudian at best. I don't know.
You just got lucky in that. Usually, it doesn't end so neatly. It was packaged with a bow. That was amazing. That was like a monologue.
Yeah, she can that was my piglet or whatever it was.
Iglet. I'm scared. That sounds like an
I used
expletive.
A mnemonic reference instantly. Yeah.
Well, no, that makes sense. But to me, a healthy relationship, true love, is where you can sit next to each other in pure silence.
Shut up. You don't believe in true love.
Okay, fine. I was noted on the podcast saying I don't believe in true love.
Yeah, dude, that needs to be a callback if it can be found, where Squeaks is like, I think love is a disease.
It is a disease, but whatever. If you're wanting to live with the disease, as most people do, then it's like...
I think love is a chemical imbalance. I hate fun.
Like, I can imagine myself, like... super like wearing thick glasses. You're wrong. Love sucks. Everyone sucks. Normies.
Normies, that's my word.
Yeah, you're right. Informies, right? That was the origin of that shit. But yeah, I never talked to her again. That was the conclusion
never
of the story. Yeah, I feel really bad. I just didn't text her back.
Yeah.
That's the way it
so
is.
So don't go around. Listen, yeah, sometimes you could be have all personality in the world and you're on point that day and everything, and she just doesn't have a personality. Don't put it on yourself. Don't think don't think it's your fault necessarily.
But I've had really not good luck on these dating apps with personalities. I don't know. Maybe it's
okay,
me.
Okay, it's eventually it's your
the sample size gets bigger. Eventually it points to you, bud.
Have you ever had a good date on a dating
app?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I've had some good ones, but
Did you ever have one that turned into a relationship?
No, nothing serious.
I've never really actually either, to be honest. I've actually had good dates. And I'd never really have turned him into like some kind of real relationship.
Yeah. No, I think it's like I made good friends on those dating apps.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Like there's some sick, they're really fun people, but I don't want to like date them. You know? I feel like a good date is someone who I'd hang out with, you know?
Do you have high standards for someone who would be your girlfriend?
Yeah, dude. I have like unrealistic standards, I think. Like I hold them to a higher standard than I hold myself. And I think that's really
bad.
That's
not good.
Yeah, it's really bad. But yeah.
I think it's good to know where your standards are because then you can kind of meet that. Because I think Kitty Plays Games actually has this thing. I think she's pinned to her tweet at the top. I brought it up on a podcast before, actually.
No, that was off air.
It was basically just to say it was off air.
Yeah.
So it's basically something that just says to find, you know, your partner, your ideal person or whatever. The strategy is to think about what you want to find in a partner and then see if you have that in yourself. So, you know, so to do the exact opposite of Squeaks.
Rude.
and try to align your expectations with who you are as well. And I think that's just generally sound advice. And it would help you just simply improve who you are and make you happier with yourself, probably.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot because it makes, you're right. It makes me want to improve me because I'm like, why would someone who is, you know, what I want to be, why would I expect that from someone else if I can't do it? It's like love yourself before you love anyone else, you know?
Yeah, some Gandhi shit.
Oh, yeah, that's some Yandi shit, man. Hey, see, I'm cool. Hey, I'm making the rap references now, buddy. I missed one episode. I got to catch up, okay?
What? Do I make rap references or something?
Literally
or?
Every fucking podcast, dude. You like make some obscure rap reference because you're trying to show people you're cool or whatever. You're like, oh, yeah, that's like from that one 50 Cent album. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah. Because I can't be the weenie on the show. Okay, I don't want to fill in this character of a wiener. I'm supposed to be the Chad.
You've got to be, you know, I mean, real G's move in silence like lasagna. So you've just got to kind of play it cool the whole time and not really brag about things like that. Did I cut out?
Yeah, I think I'm started lagging for some reason. What'd you say? Dude, this is the problem with using
laggy,
Discord.
Laggy.
Okay, listen.
Damn, you want to rant about Discord? Holy shit, you have a problem with the fact that's not
delete
that. Delete that. Get rid of that.
Delete it.
Okay.
It.
Oh, shit. You have a problem with Discord?
Yeah.
You want to rant about Discord? Do you have something to say?
I just want to say Discord's a fine company. No problems with me. I'm scared. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, are we actually deleting that?
I'm sorry. Oh, I couldn't help but to call back to it. I don't want to be shipped over the country in a barrel. So I won't talk shit about Discord, but here's what I will say. I think this would be amazingly better in a live format. Wouldn't you agree, Launders?
Yeah. Would you like to get an office in Los Angeles and move to Los Angeles and hang out and do live podcasts in person?
What are you, Stephen Hawking all of a sudden? I mean, yeah, I would.
Yeah, I am really smart.
Well, yeah, I would do it. Of course. That would be so fun. Is that the plan? Is that what we're going
to
do?
That's the plan, dude. That's my fucking plan, is to be able to... I think at the point that we could have an office space, ideally it's an office space in LA that we didn't have to rely on in investment to get to, but that might be the route at one point, but that would be the dream, to be able to have gotten there completely by bootstrapping Boxer ourselves and then executing on a plan that was really cost efficient, and even if it takes a little longer than just taking money from whoever wants to give it to us, having like a sustainable way to necessitate an office, and then have everyone in LA, you, me, Luke, Taylor, Nathan, and just like be able to go into the office, hang out, make content, make clothes, hang out afterwards, have a beer and a half, you know what I mean? Really live it up large.
Yeah, dude, we're in LA. Have some kale juice.
Whenever.
Have some LaCroix.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll have people there who want to be there. That'd be incredible.
Chase our Bud Light with wheatgrass shots.
And it's so, like, those are the most dichotomous things I've ever heard, dude. Bud Light and wheatgrass. I think it'd be like an IPA and wheatgrass.
We are in the South, after all.
You're right. That's actually true. SoCal. Dude, that sounds great.
It's so weird when people call it.
You know what's
so
crazy, Launders? I hope what's sick about the podcast is that everything that we're saying is recorded, so that in the future, we can look back at things we said. And we can like see it.
We can tape this to the wall of the office.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna become Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. It's gonna be. So it's gonna be like, hey, this esports life.
Dude, I'm waiting for some Winklevoss dumbass twin to walk by me, spouting his ideas about the next content operation. I could just swipe, just take it. You know what I mean?
Do it.
Might fuck around and hang out at the Dignitas office. You know what I mean? See what they're talking about.
A little spying espionage.
Exactly.
Do you know? You know what? You're joking about it, but do you know firms do have spies? Did you know this is real? Like a lot.
Yeah, brain rape.
What? What's that?
It's from Silicon Valley when they had the whiteboard and they had people that they were gonna hire, and then it was like Ulrich pulled them to the side. He's like, guys, they're trying to brain rape us, and they're writing down everything.
Wait, but that's different. But that's different because that's like they're giving their secrets in a pitch meeting, right? I'm talking about faking employees to go there, or faking clients, or faking whomever to get information back to their source firm, and then like reviewing it, you know, and seeing what they're doing. You know, that's real from these big companies. How sketchy is that?
They pay them. Do they have to wear mustaches?
No, they don't have to wear mustaches because people usually don't know randoms, you know? You can't, like, I mean, unless you look in a very specific way. I mean, they're not going to wear company logo t-shirts to their competitors.
But how can you be a professional spy? Because then, you can only do it once kind of thing. Like, what if you ever got famous for it?
Bro, this isn't Twitch. These are regular people.
That's how I see the world. Like, if you're good at your job, everyone's
truly
gonna know
delusional.
You.
You're like, so just imagine Launders is sitting in a room and office cubicle. He's like, thanks for the subscription, guys. And everyone's just looking at him. He's just talking to his Dell monitor. Like, there's no one there. Oh,
bro,
thanks.
That's actually so fucked up. That's like how I see the world.
Yeah. Like that is fucked up. Maybe you need help.
That's like the apex of a career to me. It's like, how famous are you?
Really? Oh yeah, I feel like we've talked about this because that's where you and I basically disagree. Like where you sort of see fame as the ultimate motive.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I think you're completely right. No, I see fame. I was like, all the great people we know are famous or something. Like that was my original. Like they're really great. We knew about them.
Yeah.
And you know what? These spies. What? You know, later on when they get to retire and write their books, like these old retired CIA agents, they get to write these exposés and detail all of the nefarious deeds that they were up to, spying and stuff like that. They can get famous that way.
Yeah, maybe. New York Times bestsellers. It's all about content. Yeah, dude, for sure. Oh my god, I don't even know if I can tell this story on the podcast. But fuck
go for it,
it
dude.
I'm. Yeah. You know what? You guys will keep a secret, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Perfect. So, holy shit, is that the audience talking back?
I was just thinking, like, what would everybody sound like if they're all talking?
They're all 11-year-olds. Yeah, Squeaks, go do it.
We like Fortnite. We like Fortnite.
My god, the kid playing Fortnite at the bar was an audience member.
I think it's so weird that of us two, I love Fortnite and you don't. I think that's so funny.
What do you mean? Because you're saying I'm immature? Because I wet the bed still at 25? Why?
Go ahead.
I just keep going because I'm emotionally undeveloped. Is that what you're saying? What was I saying? Oh yeah, the story I'm not allowed to tell, but I'm gonna tell anyway. So I went to school in UC Davis, and I was hanging out there, and one of my friends from high school came to visit me. She recently, like, she doesn't have a Facebook or anything, and so we went to get drinks, and I was like, oh, what do you do? And she's like, I'm a spy. I was like, what do you mean?
What?
I swear to God. She's like, I have work here. I was like, don't you mean a mission? Like, what do you is it, you can't just go on a work trip, it's a mission. So apparently she was a spy for like a private company, like just spying on people, and she'd be sent to different places. Isn't that fucked up?
How do you know she was not lying?
Like, what if she was spying? Like, I was the suspect.
It's such a weird thing to say. You
yeah,
know?
It, because like, but okay, it's real. There's a real fucking job that's spy. Like, you're scrolling on LinkedIn. It's like consultant, financial advisor, spy.
Like,
it's
I feel like part of if I was gonna hire someone, I'm not saying she's lying, but like if I was gonna hire someone that was like that,
yeah,
I would probably look for somebody who like wouldn't want to brag about the fact that they were gonna do it.
I mean, like I. That being said, I was like good friends with her. You know what I mean? It wasn't
a
brag.
Good okay.
It wasn't a brag. It was more of like a, I know you won't tell anybody, and here I am on a podcast. Oh my god, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
No, but it was like a, hey, what do you do? And then she's like, after a while, I'm a spy.
That's so crazy. That's a kind of cool. I'd love to be able to drop that bomb on somebody one day. You know, I'm a spy.
Yeah. Hey, me? I'm a spy.
I spy.
I spy. Make it like the game. Hey, kid,
my
you know the game
eye.
I Spy? I'm a spy. I spy. So,
that's me.
That's me. That game? That's me. That would be a fucking cool bomb. That is right.
It would
dude,
be
she
cool.
was so, in that moment, she was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, that is so, like, oh, what do you do? Oh, you're a college student? Oh, nice. I'm a spy. So.
Dude, I hate when people ask me what I do.
Yeah.
Because I think I get trapped into this thing where either. I never explain to people unless they prod. So if it's like a friend of a friend, I'll be like, I work in video games. And then if it goes farther than that, then I have to explain, like, I cast a game or something like that.
Yeah.
But if I ever had to be like, explain what I do, and then that takes like, if you invest a minute into explaining what you have to do, then they have to ask questions about it, and then it becomes a whole thing. That's the trap of taking too long to explain something,
yeah.
Forcing the other person to commit a whole segment just to bouncing back to you, no matter what it is.
Oh, for sure.
I hate that.
Then you dig yourself into a hole. Like, you're like, okay,
a hole, yeah.
I do this.
I didn't want to talk about myself.
Yeah. And I do this. Yeah, I kind of hate that too. But I'm like, I always have like reservations about saying I work in finance, because then instantly they're like, oh, tell me about Bitcoin or whatever. I'm like, fuck you. Shut up. Okay, I'm not gonna talk about
you
Bitcoin.
Fuck around with crypto, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Oh dude, explain crypto to me, man. Explain this to me, man. Like, no, pay me,
dude. I know you're hodling right now.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Stupid crypto. You know, everyone's they spell it hodl.
Yeah, so you're saying hodling.
Oh
my god, holding. Actually fucking
it's so
me.
Bad. Yeah,
actually kill me that you said that. Literally murder me.
I was making fun of the dude.
You can't say it earnestly. You play Fortnite
with this cap on backwards.
I don't know what's real and what's troll. Okay, this Fortnite player talking to me.
But you have some crypto, right?
Yeah, I have some crypto. It's more
like
a hobby
amount,
thing.
Just for fun. Yeah, yeah.
And like,
I think that's the way it should be.
I think a lot of people. I don't know if I want to get into it, but I think a lot of people in the industry, they don't like. A lot of incentives aren't aligned for people to take any other form of security or currency seriously. Like, who cares about crypto, you know? Unless, like...
Wait.
like, it's not in a firm's advantage to really give a fuck about cryptocurrency, to be honest.
A firm?
Like a company who deals with investments.
Oh.
That holds like assets. It doesn't make sense for them to really care because it's so volatile, dude. It's like, unless your goal is to make a quick buck, it doesn't make sense.
Bro, it's like that casino, and I love the casino.
Yeah. Are you big into gambling or just like being at a casino?
Once at Macau, I lost like $2,000 in 5 minutes.
Oh my God. Where's the confidence for you to bet $2,000 on anything?
I always think I'm going to win.
Really?
Yeah.
Ego. Dude, let's go. I'd be so down to go to a casino.
Oh, you want to go to a casino?
Hell
let's
yeah.
do it.
Let's fucking go. We should plan it.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, dude. That would be cool. Drinks. We could go to Vegas and then go to LA. Let's do it, man.
Yeah, make like a trip out of it. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do it.
Yeah.
Make like
but you're like always working, bro. Like seriously, this is like not even a podcast conversation, but you're always working. Like you can never just hang out or go somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Unless I like plan it in advance or something. I mean, it's like the burden that most people face. I mean, I listened to your solo podcast and I almost wanted it to be like terrible, you know, like some part of my brain was like, oh, he can't do this without me. It was pretty good. Is that fucked up to say? But I was listening to you talk about like time. And like how you can choose to do this instead of this. And I'm sitting there like, dude, I don't have a choice of what, like, I don't have that much freedom. I was so jealous listening to you talk about it. Like you worked out 3 times in the day, all this stuff. I was like, dude, good for you. But I can't do that. Like, even if I wanted to, you know?
Yeah. I wasn't saying that as like a lesson to people though, right? That was just me describing the kind of existential pickle I was in,
right? I mean, but
almost in a bad way, but just like in the sense that I was like wasting time that I had for free.
Right No, and I know like the counter is true too. I'm not trying to cast any judgment, but I'm saying like it's the ability to even have that existential thought is like, to me, is so foreign. Because yeah. I mean, like you know, like we are DMing each other and then I'm like, I can do a podcast, but I have to give up my day, basically, you know, like this is it. It's work, podcast, sleep. Like, I don't have the choice.
Yeah, but which I think is great. I think that's a great thing. Obviously, if the rest of your day goes towards something that builds into your life, but okay, so staying busy in the ideal sense, where you're doing exactly what you want, is not something anybody does. And if you're working is a really good way to spend time and not waste a lot of time, especially when you're on somebody else's clock. You're going to spend that time a little bit better usually than if you're kind of just mapping out your own day.
Yeah, like more motivated. More relaxed. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's like, I think it was Voltaire who talked about how work cures us of like a lot of ailments in life. And it's funny because work is not something that people look at with starry eyes. It's not something right. that they love to think about, but it's actually a good thing and a huge part of, you know, life and whatever. But I think if you can segment like years, right, like you're in this portion of your 20s and like these 2 years I'm dedicating to working really hard at a job that I might not love, but it's making me better in general, and I'm making a certain amount of money, and I'm meeting certain goals. Like everything's not perfect, but you're still getting a lot out of it. That compared to, let's say you fucking won 50 grand in the let's say you won 150 grand in the lottery, and you wanted to take 2 years off, and you're just like lounging around. Technically, I mean, you could honestly look at that as a fun time, but that time ends eventually. I mean, it feels like all the time you spend is spent trying to get ready for a future moment where you can really kind of benefit from it, either because you're smarter or in a better place or you feel like you earned it or whatever.
That's true. I just think it's like, I agree with the sentiment completely. And I don't hate my job as well. I think there's like some really, it's fun. I'm really lucky to have it. But I think like it's hard to remember about the future moment right now when I'm working like 11, like yesterday I worked like 12 or 13 hours. I was like, dude, that's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
That's too much. Even if it is like giving me purpose or whatever, well, according to Voltaire, during Voltaire's time, I guarantee people were not working for like the entire day. Oh, sunrise,
bro, he was
and sunset.
Probably picking blueberries.
Yo, don't say blueberries. You can choose any fruit, and you choose the one that we chose as a euphemism for balls.
Wow, I wasn't even. I didn't go there mentally.
Oh, I did. I guess I am the Fortnite player. You're right. but I think like that's the hard part is like remembering. Oh, this is worth it. It's like to me, it's like telling someone that hard work. Like, don't think of the day to day while they're in the day to day. Like, I know you're right. That's the fucked up part. It's like, you're right. I know you're right. And I know if I did win 200K, I would be a piece of shit, probably not driven to learn, not driven to be better. You're probably right about that. But I'm like, my goal is to find work that I really, like, I really am incentivized to be better in. Do you know what I mean?
Dude, that's why I want to have an office. You know? I think the ideal. After Yahoo, I realized Travis Gafford just tweeted out about this. I miss Yahoo Esports. And right now he's freelancing. He's got like a lot of great sponsors. He's got like a full Alienware sponsor. He's doing like live shows with this shit. He's living the freelancer dream. He is doing it properly and working really hard and getting a lot out of it. And yet he tweeted out, like, I really missed working at Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And that's fully him working for somebody else, probably making just as much as he makes now or even less. And he's saying he missed it. And I completely get it, dude. I think it's like it's such a good balance. You know, you work at a company where you feel like you're in charge at some to some degree. I mean, that's all you need, really. You don't have to own the whole thing. You kind of just want to be a part of a project
right.
and have freedom. The only
have
thing
change.
That,
the have only, the ability to change something, yeah.
Exactly. And the only thing that he didn't have was the ability to give himself time at the company. Like, when Yahoo closing down was beyond his control. It has nothing to do with him, really.
Right.
So that's the only thing that sucked about it. But our time there was awesome. It's such a good environment. And because we all went into work, we all worked at something, we all had a great time every day. And it can be like that. I believe it can be like that.
Totally. So, Me too. But yeah. It's crazy to talk to some of my coworkers or some people I know who work in like the same industry as me. Like, a lot of them are like, I was told once by a coworker, like, because I was complaining about my day to day or whatever, because we were both working 12 hours. And they're like, you know what? It's a weekday. So we don't own the weekdays. We only own Sundays and Saturdays. So
holy shit.
Can you believe that?
That's
and
toxic.
I was like, I was astounded because I agreed with it. I was like, you're right. I don't own this day. Like, this day isn't mine. It just felt so, limiting, you know? I was like, it gets me so mad to think about, but it's true. Like, the majority of my day is spent like at work. I don't own it. I don't have the choice of what to do unless I quit.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess in the rare circumstances, it's like the literal numerical majority of the day.
Yeah. Logistically, it's true.
Yeah. Because there's sleep and whatever.
But it's messed up to think about.
Yeah. But that's not to say that you should be working 12 hours as opposed to 9. And like, in the sense that, like, how is it that they own your day? They own your, like, I don't know how to. So you're salaried, right?
Yeah.
So you have a certain amount of work you do. You have to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you add up the hours, you're working beyond overtime every single week.
Mm-hmm. And they don't get overtime.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that messed up?
Is that? Yeah. No. This is messed up. Is that even like labor law legal?
It is. If you're salaried. If you're not salaried, then they have to pay you overtime is like the law.
Right. So it's just the culture of everybody saying yes to it. So then if you say no, then you're just not going to get the job.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, and it's like I work in a project based role. So it's like some days are super easy and some days are like, so like this past week has been insane, like insanely busy. Like, I'm talking 12 plus hours just because it's like unlucky, you know, you have so many projects and deadlines are coming up. So that's why, like, when we talk on the podcast, I so empathize with these game developing studios because I'm like, dude, I've been there. I know what it feels like. I get that where it's crunch time and like they're just burning you out. Like, you should stand up and say something, you know?
Sure. I always wondered what the culture was like at a game dev studio. Like, okay, so if it's really small, like 5 or less employees, mm-hmm. I think, you know, everybody might feel like everybody's working hard. I think once you get to maybe 15 to 20, then you might be a little bit more disconnected from people in other departments or mm-hmm. your bosses and feel like other people are putting more work than you, or you feel less connected to the outcome of the project and not feel like, you know, you're a part of the end result. And then I think that's where a lot of anger and frustration comes from.
You hit the nail
on
the head.
But I personally love the idea of 5 to 6 employees and everyone's just working their ass off on something they feel like you're literally giving 20% to. Like, you put in 20% and that 20% comes out the other side identical, because that's like you're just heading everything in that 20%. You're either doing like the branding, or you're doing the music for whatever it is, or you're, if it's a game, you're doing like the graphics. Like, it's all you.
That's
like,
so, I think that's true. Super
fulfilling.
That's 100% fulfilling. I mean, that's such good insight, because I think the temptation is to think of burnout as like, oh, you worked so hard that you just got tired. But it's like, it's not like a necessarily like you work too hard. It's like, it's almost a disengagement from your work. It's like when you don't feel like you're contributing. Because with these big companies, you're right, there's so many bullshit roles that become ancillary to the product itself, that it takes a long time to convince yourself that you're doing good, or you're doing something that's truly impactful, but yet you're still working just as hard. So then that burnout is like the disengagement with your job. Like, you're not, like, I think you'd be lucky to work really hard on something that you really want to work on. Like, that's amazing. Everyone should strive for that. But not to work on something that you have no interest in, then you get burnt out, you know? So it's a disconnect there. But that's what's kind of tough. And like, motivation fluctuates so much that if I'm not, like, if I take a break or a vacation, I think my standard to when I break my like discipline, I always come back in a rut. I'm like, oh God, like, dude, I have to get back.
I know, it makes
this.
You regret the fucking vacation too, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
I'm like, my habits were broken.
People are always like, oh, you should, you know, work too hard, you got to take a vacation. And then, but if you're, it's just like a guilt filled trip where you spend money, you're there spending money constantly. You're thinking about how the work continues without you. So when you get back, it's not as if that shit gets done. You still got to do everything you did and more. And then you've loosened up, you know, you've loosened up to the point that now the same amount of work feels two times harder and you've got to get back in the rhythm. And it's not like you could actually free yourself from thinking about that at any point during the vacation.
Nope.
During the 3 days in which it takes to get to the point where you're finally comfortable being there.
100%.
Then you come back and it just hurts way worse.
Yeah, like then you're like working twice as hard. Yeah, it's yeah. fucked. That's why I feel like vacations are wasted on the children. You know, the ones who truly have no liabilities are playing Fortnite at the bar. Those are the ones who can actually enjoy it. What do you have responsibilities in, dude? Mrs. Taw's homework can wait. Get a pass. Yeah. Who cares? Don't do it. You can't do that when you're an adult.
Yeah, that's why I think in our culture, like, we live in a world where we just have to backwards rationalize from what we already think is acceptable, because we know there's no happy life in North America or in the Western world or wherever, big cities, if you're not making a lot of money at a good job. It's hard to have a good life if you're not making a certain amount of money at a good job, and you don't like enjoy your work to some extent. That's because work is life here. So that's just the way it is. You know, you could go somewhere else. You know, I have heard of places, and that's all I can say, is I've heard of places where it's like a small city in the south of France, a town or something like that, and they have a great life and they live slowly and they don't get a ton out of it in the same sense that we do, but they're probably happier. They probably have a different way of looking at life completely. It's not exactly appealing to me in my mind, but this is the world we live in. And to me, the best life is one where you're working really hard, but it's a job you want to be at, as opposed to try to make a lot of money and then retire as soon as possible. I don't like that goal.
Sure.
Because if you could retire in the next year, sure. But if you can't think of a way to do that, then it's probably better to find a job that you really like. So then you're just doing what you want all the time while making money.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's all about purpose, dude. Like, if you don't align with the purpose of your career, you're fucked. Like,
dude, why you're gonna be fucking ugly with a lot of money when you're old? What's the point?
What's the point, man? I want to make these a gold digger YouTube
years.
Video.
These next 15 years, you know, I think are the best ones.
Yeah, like, we're biologically in our prime, you know?
Yeah.
We look the best.
Yeah.
Sad, but...
Before the fucking hair starts growing out of our ears.
Yeah, that's right. Wait, you're saying you don't have hair out of your ears already? Shit, I'm fucked.
Is that an Indian thing?
I think it might be.
I had an old math teacher who I remember. I spent an entire like summer. I was in summer school, but just couldn't stop staring at the fucking hair growing out of his ears. Like, he was a goddamn fucking,
like, a Deku tree.
Like a tree. Yeah, a tree, exactly.
Wait, really? That's the example. We both went with the same one. That's so funny. I had a teacher who was Indian, and she scared the shit out of me. She hated me because she thought I was a disgrace to the Indian people because I wasn't as smart as the other kids. And then the first row would be the splash zone because she would spit all over the place. It was like SeaWorld. Be like, oh, like you're in the splash zone in the seating chart. You're fucked. It's fun. Dude, kids are so fucked up. That's where you make the best friends, when you're in adversity, you know? You're the adversity of classroom.
Yeah, you have a common enemy.
That's right. That's where you make real allies.
No, it's true, man. I think there's that whole psychological element of when you're in a group with people, how the experiments show that people will make the roles the same. They'll make roles out of people. Like, somebody will be the kid who gets bullied, and the other kid will be... who's like the leader of the group, and
the alpha.
All these roles will just change if you change groups to somewhere. Eventually they'll find each other.
It's true. I've seen that in my life too, dude. Like, especially in like the context of work, it's literally like a cesspool of the same people who are sitting next to each other the same for hours on end. People would go into roles, and that's where the tightest bonds are created, man. I would take a bullet from my coworkers for no rational reason, like, because we both face the same thing.
Wait,
like,
actually, or?
I mean, some of them, yeah. I mean,
really? That's pretty high. That's pretty good. I mean, I would say the same about like the guys I worked with at Yahoo, but I don't know. I don't have like the most positive image of like your work life. So
yeah,
that's good to hear.
Well, it's positive. I don't know.
I feel
like I've misrepresented myself a little bit. Like, I don't hate my job. I think I'm lucky to have it. And I think it's like, it's hard. Like, I'm very lucky to be in this position, but.
Blink twice.
There's the guys of Discord are holding a gun to me. No, I mean, I'm super happy to be in the position, and like, I get paid like fairly, I would say, for my work. And
yeah. How much money do you have?
What if I gave you the response without even blinking? No.
I would ask Nathan to remove it.
Yeah, good. No, I have enough. Like, I live happily, you know? But I just think that, like, the adversity that you face in an office it brings people together in such a profound way. It's like families. Like, if you go through an adversity as a family, like, it makes the bond really tight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, like, I don't want to bring 9/11 into this, but do you remember, like, the day... I hate to be like the casual 9/11.
Very on brand if you think about it.
No. What is that supposed to mean?
Don't delete
it's
that.
So insulting. No, but I'm saying like the day after 9/11 was everyone was like so unified, you know? Everyone was USA all around. And I think that was
even
like,
us.
Yeah, well, we were
I didn't know what the fuck was going on. You were like 6 years old.
I was
or something.
In first grade.
You were six years old.
Yeah, but that was like it impacts us the most. Like, funny enough,
I was 11. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Yeah. I was like, why is everyone so sad right now? Doesn't this happen all the time?
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, I mean, like, on the day it's sad, but you don't understand the severity of it until you grow up.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it because it was so close to us. But I didn't get that because I just heard about shit like that all the time, just other places. Yeah. I was like, why is this one special?
It's the United States.
I didn't know how to look at it.
Yeah,
it was the United States, and it was literally geographically fucking closer to me than you, honestly.
Oh, you're right. Like, you know, I never even thought about that.
I was thinking like, oh shit, are we just scared because we got the CN Tower? Like, we got a tall building.
Right, yeah, your six-year-old brain was like...
Yeah. Dude, I remember, like, as a kid, I was walking around, and I was like, man, how far would it fall if it got
scary?
Hit?
You can't even like think about that.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be in.
No, I can't either.
It's a terror of something like that happening again. I get that more than anything else now.
Yeah, no, it's scary.
Yeah, but yo, hey, I mean, now I get my balls rubbed by the TSA every time I go through the airport for free.
I like to moan when I get checked for extra. You know, I want people to know I enjoy it.
That's how you get on the right list, and they don't do it again.
The TSA agent's into it. we're gonna need to take you to another room. Yeah. That's the start of every good documentary.
Oh, man, right? That's funny.
I did get stopped for extra security when I flew to Vancouver, though. They're like, oh, why is this guy crossing the border? Yeah, I did. They said, Something in my bag triggered it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. They took me and they touched me. Okay. And they're like, dude, it was like so PC.
No liquids.
It was in the Portland airport. And they're like, they gave me like a speech before they touched me. They're like, I'm going to use the outside of my hands. Okay. I'm going to do this. Is this, do you want this to happen here in a private? I was like, dude, just touch my balls and get over with it.
They cheat consent a little bit. They nod their head as they're telling you because they need consent.
Oh my
gosh.
But they
do it in such a way that you're consenting as they're talking.
That's messed up. I never even thought about that. Dude, I hate the TSA. I'll say it. I don't care.
They're the worst.
They're the worst, dude. They're actually so bad. I've never had a good interaction with a TSA agent.
They've also never caught a bomb.
Oh, yeah. They're like super inefficient.
In the entire time. Yeah, they've never caught anything.
There's so many, like, probably so many shampoo bottles that they have.
The most expensive preventative measure of all time. Once I brought in hair clay, and I had an argument with them as to whether or not this fell within the realm of liquid and or gel, which was clay. It was neither.
Yeah.
And so I was just having a conversation with them about how it's more solid than liquid. Like it's clay. And then I got the fucking TSA agent to put her finger in it.
No, you didn't.
To test it. Yes. I was like, it's clay. Touch it. And in my mind, I'm like, this, a smart person would realize what I'm doing right now, right? You know, we wouldn't fucking touch it, because if you think that it's an illegal or substance that's banned or something I shouldn't bring on a plane, you would never fucking touch it. Because like, or a bomb or something, right? And she fucking put her finger in it and still wouldn't let me take it on the plane.
Really? She touched the clay? Did you have to throw it out?
She had a glove on, but the fact
still
that she wouldn't put her finger. Dude, it's fucking crazy, man.
Yikes, dude. That's funny, though. She touched it.
I was pissed.
She's like, let me see. Let me take a closer look.
Gave her the look, like, okay. Like, I gave her the look, like, all right, you get it now, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just literally touched it.
No, that's fucked up, dude. I know. They're ridiculous. They have no empathy. Like, my mom, she's, like, in the process of moving, so she had a bigger suitcase or whatever, like, with her. It was a little heavy. And the TSA age is supposed to be like 50 pounds or something. I don't remember the exact number. And it was 50.6. And the guy was like,
no way. The plane is going to crash.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
that's what
ma'am.
I said. I was like, I hope we're not 0.6
away.
This shit
is coming down.
I literally am the nicest person to like service people who are doing their jobs. But I couldn't help it. I was like, why are you being such an asshole? That's what I just said. It's just like,
nice.
It's like, dude, why are you being such an asshole about it? You want me to take out a scarf? You know, like, dude, come
People
on.
People can't fucking think for themselves. Oh, man.
Well, it says 50 in my handbook. I'm like, dude, go fuck yourself. It's 50.6.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I was like, dude, you can't. It's like an old woman, too. It's like, just let her go.
I know, dude. That's crazy, bro. Yeah. And you know that when they make that rule, first of all, it's arbitrary. And it's definitely within like 20 kg of whatever would be acceptable, just in case something gets through. Because they can't have the plane like crash.
No,
you know,
it's stupid.
They can't risk that. So, fuck you, man. Sorry, that wasn't even to you. Just fuck. That makes me so mad.
It pissed me off, and it was such a small thing. Yeah. But I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, this is so annoying.
Mm.
Yeah, but I hate like the big fucking rule book followers. I deal with them all the time too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really annoying. But
so unfortunately, we don't have any. We don't have any voicemails.
What the hell are you guys doing?
Actually, we don't have voicemails, right? I don't know if we checked.
I think
we checked. But we don't have voicemails.
Oh.
I don't know if we do. I don't think we do. And we don't have any Apple reviews. For some reason, after they moved the website, we stopped getting reviews. Did you notice that? It's a direct correlation.
Yeah, they took out. Well, we're saying iTunes. It's actually Apple Podcasts. Okay? Last podcast, you made the mistake of saying iTunes. Okay? I don't want to blame it all on you, but I'm blaming it all on you, dude. Apple Podcast, leave us a review. We'll read it.
Search Apple Podcast Launders, and I'm sure you'll find it.
Or Squeaks, but I don't know. Other Squeaks podcasts?
No,
or
you don't want to overly convolute the result. And also, you can leave a voicemail by checking out the Twitter at Esports Life Pod on Twitter. And then the pinned tweet has instructions for how to leave a voicemail. There's a number.
It's literally dialing a number, guys. Okay? And girls.
Yeah. I know you guys still, you guys from the rotary phone generation and beyond all know how to use a touchpad. And while you're there, drop a follow.
Or don't, honestly, fuck it.
It's up to you. You're an autonomous individual.
Dude, you guys are beating almost literally my Twitter followers are, you know.
Oh, that's why.
You guys are freaking following the podcast, but on me, it hurts my feelings. And you know how emotionally fragile I am if you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Follow
Nathan
me.
Doesn't like when you say the pod.
I know. Did you see how I added the cast like an hour later?
He's going to delete the space.
He will make it sound natural. You know, it makes it sound way better. Podcast. But follow me on Twitter.
Oreo, we have 125 followers. Oh, wow. Yeah, it is catching up to you.
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter, Squeaks15. Okay? I wasn't good enough to do no numbers. So follow me right now if you're listening
to this.
Don't
worry, man. You can put it on the jersey one day.
That's rude, but true. But I will, you know? I love that. I'll make my own jersey, my own merch, and I'll just wear it myself. Fuck it. I'm my own biggest fan.
Sometimes you got to put yourself on. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. What will we have next? Another podcast next week.
Yeah, we'll do another podcast. We're gonna try to do more shows as well on like Twitch and stuff. So I just decided.
Yeah,
I didn't really.
Is that,
talk
you just,
about
yeah, I just realized. I mean, I guess that's a good way to implicate me. Just say it live, and then yeah.
I didn't even ask about it, but it'd be fun.
I'm down. I think we should. We should really do
it'll
that.
It'll be fun, and you guys can see the pre-show bullshit. What I have to
do. Dude, our
with.
Fucking pre-shows are an hour. And then the show is an hour.
I told them, I was like, do we got enough juice? Because like, I'm getting sleepy. Yeah, our pre-show is sometimes, I think today it was longer.
We've had a two-hour pre-show before.
Yeah, which is bad. But also, like, people, yeah. I feel like the illusion is that we talk all the time on, like, but we only talk, like, on the podcast, Launders and I. So a lot of it is, like, truly catching up.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, go get something to eat. And then get some sleep.
Oh, no, seriously. Do you have any parting words of wisdom? Go ahead, Launders.
You know, I'm just a regular dude with a big ass dick.
See how hard it is to come up with that shit on the spot? Not good.
Keep your crosshairs high and your dreams low.
Really? You fucked that up?
Keep your hopes high.
How are you fucking this up?
Crosshairs low.
This is your second swing. No, it's keep your dreams up high and your crosshair placement low.
It doesn't even make sense.
Don't think about it too hard.
Why would it be hopes? Keep your hopes high and your dreams and your crosshair low.
You're
and then
still
it's funny
fucking
and
it
still
up.
Makes
We're
sense.
Still fucking it up. This is like swing seven. It's fine. Don't worry about it, man. No one's really caring about that. But...
All right. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week for episode 42.
Oh my God, we're really getting up there. See you guys.